It's 5:06, and you're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Some science fiction music to get us started on our next interview. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Cynthia Schuster, in for Rob Ferret. Coming up later, a new study finds that women are still underrepresented in the media today in areas like TV, film, and print.
First, science fiction has been a favorite sandbox for novelists and big thinkers for a long time. From Jules Verne to Margaret Atwood, science fiction explores ideas, history, and sometimes it gives us a glimpse of the future. Steve Paulson is the executive producer of To the Best of Our Knowledge, and he's joining us now to talk about the power of science fiction and something special TT Book has going on right now. Steve, welcome back to Central Time.
It is always a pleasure to be here.
So you guys on To the Best of Our Knowledge have been thinking a lot about science fiction lately.
We have.
And it can be the kind of reading that people are a little more embarrassed about. You know, they hide the cover on the bus or whatever.
Right.
But geeks have come out of the closet in film and in fiction. So for those of us who love science fiction, can you make the case for why it's okay to love it?
Sure. Well, of course, it's science fiction is battling that image that a lot of genres deal with, which is, you know, it's not serious. You know, think, you know, it gets shelved in some special place in the bookstore because, you know, it's not part of literary fiction. But what has happened recently is a number of big name writers, literary writers, have come out and said, we love science fiction, and really this is one of the places where you can deal with some of the most serious, the biggest ideas out there. And one of them, for instance, is Junot Diaz, who is a Pulitzer Prize-winning writer, wrote the brief Wondrous Life of Oscar Wilde. Well, it turns out he's also a big science fiction fan. In fact, he teaches a science fiction class at MIT, and we did an interview with him recently where, you know, he was talking about why science fiction is one of the few genres where you can actually play out some of those really big philosophical ideas.
Well, I mean, how many literary novels do you know are about breeding people? Well, I'm a product of a couple hundred years of white folks breeding black folks to work. I mean, think about it. There's very few black folks in this hemisphere who aren't the product of this sinister experiment of breeding human beings. Now, this is not something that realism is capable really of addressing as well as the genres. Now, you look at realistic novels, the reality of the African diasporic experience is almost entirely absent. And yet you look at science fiction, and science fiction is always breeding people. Popular culture, what we call the genres, often are able to articulate in altered forms the hidden histories of our nations, the hidden history of our places.
And that was a clip of the Pulitzer Prize-winning novelist Junot Diaz talking about why he loves science fiction. And that's what we're talking about right now with, to the best of our knowledge, is Steve Paulson, talking about all the opportunities that science fiction affords writers and the ways that it can help us explore big ideas and big themes and actually real science that could become
right.
plausible one day.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, there's a whole genre of science fiction that's known as hard science fiction, and there's some debate about what exactly that is. But basically, the idea is that these are stories about science that's plausible. So, you know, forget about the transporter in Star Trek.
Wait, that's not possible?
Not yet. I don't think so. Or, you know, there are all those stories about, you know, being able to travel to distant galaxies going faster than the speed of light. No, that is not plausible unless there is some science breakthrough. But there's this other tradition of what you might call very realistic scenarios in science fiction. One of the most famous writers is Kim Stanley Robinson. He did a series of novels back in the 1990s known as the Mars Trilogy, which won all the science fiction awards. And basically the premise was 100 scientists are sent off to colonize Mars. And so, I mean, this is a real thing that, you know, scientists talk about. I'm sure NASA scientists have talked about it. See, you know, we're not talking little green men or, you know, viruses that are going to, you know, wipe out all of civilization or evil galactic empires. No, this, you have to deal with rocket science, with geology, with biology, and all that it would take to create a sort of a livable habitat on another planet. And so he spells it out. And then, I mean, the other thing that's interesting is, you know, it's not just about the science, then you get into the politics of it. Because, you know, really what a lot of science fiction does is it's imagining what would a better world look like. I mean, that's sort of the underlying, the underpinning of so many of these stories. And so Kim Stanley Robinson plays that out. And, you know, and it's and it's not as if these scientists are any better people than the rest of us. But, you know, what happens when you get 100 smart people together to try to create a better society? And, you know, maybe it doesn't always go so well.
Interesting. That's not what I've read yet. And you also talked to someone else who is very literary, mm-hmm. but her writing often delves into these scenarios that, you know, could unfold should humanity bend a certain way, Margaret Atwood.
Right.
Can we talk about your interview with her?
Sure. Well, the revered Canadian writer who is famous for, you know, one of the most revered literary writers around. Well, she's also written this other strain of novels going back to The Handmaid's Tale, and she recently wrote this trilogy called the Oryx and Crake novels, and it sort of depicts a civilization that has collapsed as a result of kind of this global pandemic. And now she makes the distinction between what she calls speculative fiction, which she would describe herself as writing, and science fiction.
I say them as belonging to two different lineages, and those lineages began in the 19th century. And one lineage is descended from Jules Verne, who wrote things like 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, and he wrote about things that he thought were really about to come to pass and were really possible, such as submarines. And the other lineage devolves from H.G. Wells, particularly his early works, The War of the Worlds and The Time Machine. And here we are clearly dealing with things that are invented. So there are those two lines. One of them leads to things like Brave New World and 1984, and one of them leads to things like Star Trek.
And that was the writer Margaret Atwood talking about different strands of science fiction and then how they developed.
Right. And so she would say, for instance, I mean, how do you classify a novel like George Orwell's 1984? You know, it's kind of futuristic. I mean, obviously written a long time ago, but, you know, it's not exactly science fiction. Now, she would say that falls within this tradition of speculative fiction, of something that could really happen. And, of course, Orwell was really playing off of Stalinist Soviet Union at that time. And, so, the whole concept of Big Brother was very much rooted in the real world. And yet it was, in some ways, kind of a fantastic scenario.
And to the best of our knowledge, has been thinking a lot about this right now because you have an ongoing science fiction writing contest happening. What do we need to know about that?
We are very excited about this. So we, in partnership with two institutes on the UW campus, the Center for the Humanities and the Wisconsin Institute for Discovery, we're putting together a flash fiction contest. So this is, I mean, basically the rules are fairly simple. These are stories that need to be between 500 and 600 words long. So short. Basically about 3 minutes as you would read them. They all have to deal with this tradition of hard science fiction. So science fiction that's plausible, scientifically plausible, and the deadline is March 1st.
It's March 1st. That's coming up.
Right around the corner, yeah. And we've already gotten a couple of hundred submissions from around the country. And partly what's unique about this contest is we're going to have judges from all over the place, for literary scholars, scientists will be judging some of these stories, and then we'll sort of winnow this down to the final 15 finalists. And then we have gotten Kim Stanley Robinson, who we were just talking about, the revered science fiction writer. He is going to make the final judgment. So he's going to take these 15 finalists and he's going to pick three winners. And then we are going to have the three winning stories adapted by Gates McFadden. You may remember her from Star Trek The Next Generation.
Of course I remember Gates McFadden, Dr. Crusher.
Absolutely,
right?
Yes. Okay. Well, it turns out she has a theater company in L.A., and they have actors, and she's going to adapt these three stories for radio, and the winning stories will air on To the Best of Our Knowledge. So we are pretty excited about that.
Okay, so the deadline is March 1st, and where do we go if we want to hear more or to enter?
You go to the To the Best of Our Knowledge website. Easiest thing to do. You'll see all the rules there. So it's ttbook.org, very simple. And then also, the other thing that's kind of exciting is we're having a big event in Madison that will be kind of the culmination of this. So we're going to have a symposium where Kim Stanley Robinson is coming to Madison, and he's going to be on a panel talking with scientists and literary scholars talking about sort of, you know, why science fiction is so great and how it can help us to imagine possible future worlds.
Wow, so you've got Kim Stanley Robinson and you've got Gates McFadden, Dr. Crusher from Star Trek The Next Generation. So this is pretty much a slam dunk if you're a geek.
I think so. Yeah, we're pretty excited.
All right, excellent. Well, Steve, thank you so much for stopping by and telling us about it.
Oh, it's always a pleasure.
And that was Steve Paulson, executive producer of To the Best of Our Knowledge. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Cynthia Schuster. Coming up, we'll hear why women don't get equal representation in the media. But first, we're asking you, what's your favorite science fiction book ever? Perhaps you have a favorite science fiction movie, a TV show? We'd like to hear about it. And why? What far-out idea blew your mind? You can call us and let us know at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. You can also email us at talk@wpr.org or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
Steve Paulson was just in talking about some of the provocative ideas that science fiction can get at, and here's an example in this clip from Star Trek.
Do you realize what you have done?
Yes, I do. I've given you back the horrors of war. You can either wage it with real weapons, or you might consider an alternative. Put an end to it. Make peace.
There can be no peace. Don't you see? We've admitted it to ourselves. We're a killer species. It's instinctive. It's the same with you.
The instinct can be fought. We're human beings with the blood of a million savage years on our hands. But we can stop it. We can admit that we're killers, but we're not going to kill today. That's all it takes, knowing that we're not going to kill today.
And that, of course, is Captain Kirk from Star Trek. We're talking about science fiction right now, why we love it, and what some of our favorite science fiction books and movies and films are. And maybe there was a scenario that someone set up in one of those forms that just really blew your mind. It got you thinking about the way the world would unfold and about science and about different possibilities for life. And we've got a call right now. We've got Jeremy with us in Madison. Hi, Jeremy. You're on the air.
How you doing?
Doing well. How are you?
Great. That's an awesome program today.
Thank you. What do you think? What's your favorite sci-fi book or movie?
I really love the newest version of Battlestar Galactica that was out a few years ago.
That was the remake, right?
Yes, it was a remake of the original. I love the original as well, but the social constructs that they kept putting into the show and the different aspects they used to explain the current events that were going on, I think was outstanding.
All right, excellent. I haven't seen that one. I know lots of people are fans of Battlestar Galactica. That's something that was pretty big a while ago. Thank you so much for calling and sharing that one with us. And we're taking your phone calls right now of your favorite science fiction at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. And in the meantime, we have producer Chris Molina with us, who is a big science fiction nerd, and he's here to talk about some of his favorites.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me on, Veronica. One of my all-time favorites, which I'm surprised we haven't heard about yet, is The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, which is the famous, it started as a radio play, I believe. Not that I own the CD BBC recording or anything that I bought on Amazon a while back, but yeah, I'm a giant fan of the books. I kind of came late to that party. I know that a lot of people grew up with them, and just a couple years back, I picked up the book with all five of the stories in them, and I read them all in like, you know, 3 or 4 weeks, and just a wonderful series, really funny, really well done. There's actually a sixth book not written by Douglas Adams. I believe it was written probably within the last 10 years or so. I think his estate commissioned an author to write the next book in the series, and I haven't actually read that one. I'm not sure how I feel about someone else taking the reins of the series. I'm a sci-fi fan, you know, true and true that, oh, if there's an imitator or someone else doing it, I can't do it.
Some people are purists. That's okay.
Yep, it's true. So, you know, maybe I'll check it out at some point, but I don't see myself being too excited about it at this point.
All right, well, thanks, Chris. I'm going to go back to the phones and take Bruce, who's joining us from Watertown. Hi, Bruce.
Hello. One of my favorite movies is a movie called Gattaca that was made perhaps 10 years ago that talks about genetic testing and genetic limitations that are put on again, it's set in the future, but it's eerily coincidental with genetic testing and things like that that are available today.
Okay, yeah, and that's sort of what Juno Diaz, I don't know if you heard the clip earlier, was talking about, one of those ideas that can be difficult to explore in fiction, but in science fiction, you can take it to different levels. And did you like the actual, the execution of Gattaca as well?
Exactly. In this particular movie, people are genetically tested to find out what they can do in society and different jobs and things like that. And so the main hero wants to be an astronaut, but he's not genetically qualified to do that. So he hides his DNA through a variety of techniques and eventually realizes his dream. And so the central thesis of the movie is that don't let genetic testing keep you down, that you can still explore your dreams and follow your bliss, things like that.
Excellent. Well, thanks, Bruce. That's not one I've seen. Thank you so much for calling and talking about that one. And we go next to Karen joining us in Milwaukee. Hey, Karen.
Hi. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. I read a book series with my book club called Old Man's War by John Scalzi. And the concept of that was they took the spirit and the mind processes of old dying people and put them in young, strong bodies to go fight intergalactic wars. So the young bodies had the humanity and the wisdom of the old people, but the strength of the young people fighting a war. It was a real interesting concept.
Yeah, that is a really interesting premise. And was that an older book or a newer book?
Yeah, very old book.
Okay.
That somebody in the group had just said that they had enjoyed it once. And another odd, interesting sci-fi book I read was called Future Eden. I cannot remember the author, but the concept of that was about an alien chicken that had come to Earth to save the human race because we had destroyed our planet, starting by killing off all the mosquitoes, because we thought, why not get rid of these pesky mosquitoes? And when we did that, we also took out like 2 million human beings. But what is 2 million human beings to get rid of the pesky mosquito?
Wow. So this is a serious book, despite the fact of the alien chicken.
Yeah.
Right?
It was just very different and made you think about the things that we do as a human race.
Right. And that's sort of the point of science fiction, to get you thinking about the way different things could unfold and different trajectories that the human race is on. Karen, thank you so much for calling. Your recommendations, Old Man's War and Future Eden. And let's move on to Mike. Mike's joining us in Milwaukee. Hi, Mike.
Hi. Yeah, I saw it was a rerun of a Star Trek, the original Star Trek. I don't know what the episode was called, but in there were it touched on racism, and there was a group of people, and they were, half of their face was black, and then the left half was white, and then there was another group who were white black, and like the white blacks hated the black whites. They said they were inferior and all this stuff, and like when you're watching the show, you got mixed up who was who, but I thought it was fascinating. You know, obviously it was touching on the short-sightedness or the stupidity of racism.
That's so interesting, Mike. I just listened to a little bit from that very episode today, and it sounds like what it really did was, you know, took things from a fresh perspective and made you really think about how we think about race. Is that right, Mike?
Yes, I agree. That was back, I don't know when the original Star Trek was popular, when in the 60s and 70s, correct?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
well, great. Well, thank you so much for calling in with that. That's exactly what we're getting in here. And let's go on to Nico, who's joining us in Green Bay. Hi, Nico.
Hi. The one I wanted to bring up is actually, it's a series of video games that first came out in the Xbox series called Mass Effect. That's also spawned one animated movie and several books now. It kind of explores the idea that when humanity first reaches out into the depths of the stars, they find that there's already a thriving civilization of other races, and they're just the new kids that kind of nobody likes at that point.
So kind of turning your feelings about being someone from planet Earth upside down, that you're the newcomer.
And it takes from that, it explores the idea that with humanity coming in, and they're more tolerated than anything, that when we come in, there's an extreme sense of xenophobia and just pretty much straight-up racism that a lot of people feel, while other people look to adapt and explore these new cultures that become available.
Well, Nico, thank you so much for calling up and sharing that with us. That was the video game Mass Effect. And that's all we have time for, but you can keep the conversation going on the Central Time Facebook page. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Cynthia Schuster. Rob Ferret will be back next week. Coming up next, a new study says women are still underrepresented in the media and in everything from sports to film. More on that just ahead. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.